Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with myself, Hayden Gullis, and James Coker. We've actually had a bit of a quiet week when it comes to F1 news. It feels like everything kicked off at the start of the summer break. Everyone was getting it in early. And then after that, everyone's now taking a break, gone on holiday. The biggest rumor really coming out this week has got to be, it seems to be getting a lot closer that Adrian Newey is going to be joining Aston Martin for the future, which I think could be absolutely incredible for the team. Aston Martin is one of those teams that have been on the up. Yes, they've taken a little bit of a dip in form this season, but they have the facilities, they're building the facilities, they're bringing in the right people in the right places, and I think potentially could be the next team to get amongst that top three once again and solidify themselves as a front runner. James, what do you feel like about this Adrian Newey big deal news?
I feel like right now Lawrence Stroll is Thanos collecting the Infinity Stones.
I feel like he walks a bit like Thanos as well.
He's got a Thanos vibe to him. He's got Thanos's build. And Adrian Newey is just one of the next steps to, you know, achieving his goal of winning a Formula One World Championship. And of course, past the rumors of securing Adrian Newey for 4 years, which right now is, of course, just a rumor, he has his sights on the one, the only, the Dutch Lion, Max Verstappen.
That is incredible. I mean, Red Bull kind of on the downhill, aren't they? So, and for Max working so close with Adrian Newey over the last few years, that would make sense as an option to go. But, you know, you look at Aston Martin and you'd think, realistically, are they ever going to get rid of Lance Stroll? Would that be replacing Fernando Alonso instead? Or will Lance Stroll finally be moved to the side? Which, you know, I'm going to say that the last few rounds for Lance Stroll versus Fernando Alonso have, on the majority, gone in Lance Stroll's favour. But people tend to forget or not talk about that because it's not part of the, you know, the herd, the sheep mentality agenda of let's just crap on a single driver because his dad owns the team. When he's bad, let's jump on the bandwagon. But when he's doing well, we're just going to forget. Lance Stroll, who? No, we don't talk about that.
No one else has ever agreed with me on this front, but I would not be surprised if somewhere down the road we see Lance Stroll in like a team principal or a CEO position for a Formula One team.
Really?
I don't know if he necessarily wants to be in charge of the day-to-day, but I could see him being like the figurehead on the business side for a team once he retires.
I don't know. Like, I believe he's gone through the sort of business studies and, you know, you would expect that would be like the next step really for most of those father-son relationships, isn't it? To take over from the family business. But I generally sometimes get a feel that Lance never really actually wanted to get into Formula One. Lawrence wanted to get into Formula One. And whilst I do think that Lance is a good driver, and I think he is massively overhated, maybe not overrated, but overhated, I do feel like, you know, there is the abilities there, the results are there. He's got a pole position in terrible conditions in Turkey. You know, he's got podiums in the past as well. Like, there is good stuff on that CV. There's a lot of lack of consistency for sure. But I just sometimes get this vibe from him. Like, I don't know whether he's just massively laid back, but I do sometimes get the vibe that you're there not just because your dad owns the team, but also because your dad has put you through this journey through your life to be like, this is what I want you to be, son.
Yeah, he's like, all right, let's just keep doing it. It's like, imagine having a job of being the Formula One driver and you clock in and out like you're working at a factory. Oh.
But I feel like most Formula One drivers want that, but it's just the driving. None of this media malarkey, none of the rest of the stuff. Show up. Okay, race is at 3. Okay, I'm going to be there at 2:55. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do the race, and then I'm going to go home again straight away. Like, that's, I feel like, the majority what they want.
Do you think any drivers currently on the grid, like Max per se, are powerful enough to mandate in their future contracts that they don't have to do any social or any other sort of press obligations?
I feel like Lewis has got as minimal as possible as he has to do. And I feel like maybe for most established drivers, like Kimi Raikkonen for sure, like definitely had it in contracts to be like, right, whatever you don't need me to do, I'm not doing. Because he was very much a driver of, all I want to do, and the reason why I'm here so long, I'm still driving in my 40s, is I just want to race. I enjoy racing, but I don't enjoy the rest of it that comes with Formula One. And I think
the flip side of that, last year we saw Fernando Alonso lean into it way more than we would expected. And that probably improved his standing from a marketing perspective, which I thought was really smart on his end.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the rumors came out, didn't they, that he was dating Taylor Swift and they were going out with each other. So that certainly would have raised his profile. And I reckon at that sort of point, you've been given that extra, those extra eyeballs on your name to be like, crap, I should probably make a social media account to interest those people that have come over, that when they find out that this rumor is not true and we're not together, they're not just going to run away and never come back. They might hang about and be like, this guy's actually quite funny. And I think he does a really good job. And, I quite like that those drivers who do jump on the social media bandwagon, and some of them have done really well for him. Obviously, Lando Norris did really well starting off, you know, his Formula One career. He was doing Twitch streams beforehand. And then it's less so now. I think he's stepped away from the gaming and the sim racing side. He still does them, but does them a lot less compared to, because he's enjoying life and being outside a lot more. So I'm really happy that Fernando Alonso is, you know, he's steering into that.
He really leaned into it. And you also have to give credit to Jimmy Horn, who is a content creator and I think is now a creative director for Aston Martin's Formula One team. I think he had a huge hand, if not like the entire creative direction in a lot of the content that Fernando Alonso did last year that we loved so much.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure he's the guy that goes to Fernando and go, right, okay, we've seen this. This trend's going about on TikTok. Can you do this? And he's there having to actually explain what he needs to do and why they need to do it. So, hats off to him to be able to get, you know, a guy in his 40s, because we've been there, you know. We do socials and we've been there when we're maybe talking to people who are older and they're just like, how is that your job? Like, how do you earn money from that? Like, what? Why do you do that? Why do people watch that? Like, it takes a lot sometimes to explain to people from an older generation why to watch and why to do this sort of certain stuff.
Moving on from content creation, we saw recently there has been another wave of FOM or Formula One properly coming down on content creators and throwing a number of copyright claims on long form videos and short form videos on YouTube and other platforms. I saw this morning, someone sent me a video of FP1 Will, who is a very popular YouTube creator who creates very funny comedic race reviews, had essentially every race that he covered this season be hit with a copyright claim and taken down and blocked. Have you had any experience with this as a content creator, Hayden?
I've had it a lot on the gaming side. It's actually quite funny on the gaming side when it happens, because basically what I love about YouTube is it tells you what you've done wrong compared to other platforms. Facebook, my personal Facebook page is gone because apparently I've done something that has gone against their system. But they don't tell me what they've done. They also say, if you could send us the information for what you've done. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I've done. What information do you want? But YouTube, it tells you. And for me, when I get done on the gaming side, every now and again, it's like, this has been taken from FP1 live footage. And I'm just like, it's just me playing the game. So hats off to the creators of the F1 game that the robots behind YouTube think it's so realistic that it is real-life gameplay. And also, you know, I must say then, my driving must be so good that it looks like a real-life professional is in the car. But that's my sort of experience. But YouTube can be a bit scary sometimes when it comes up to disputing these things, because it has all these warnings, like, you know, if this fails, you're going to get a claim next to you and your channel's going to be restricted or it could be banned. And it is sometimes worrying to do so. So you have to be fully sure that the content is yours. Whereas for me, for gaming, I know that the content in that is fully mine. Like, anything that I post from the gaming side, all the content is fully my own original content. So I will dispute that. And within a week, I will get that footage back and that video will be no longer copyright striked and we'll all be good. It is obviously a lot more difficult in the real life space because you're using actual footage, and or if you do use actual real life race footage, there are companies like Sky Sports, for example, who pay a lot of money to be the broadcaster and have access to those rights, and you just as a content creator pinch it, make money off it. And it's not necessarily FOM that have the problem. It's those companies that are paying for the rights to broadcast Formula One that say, no, this is not right. We paid you loads of money to do this. This person's making money for free. You need to come down on them. And unfortunately, that's where it comes from.
So do you think you should be able to use, as long as you're not straight up just rebroadcasting a race or a session, do you think as a content creator, you should be able to use race footage as long as you're not monetizing the video?
Copyright is just such a gray area, I feel like, sometimes. But I believe in the laws, as long as you are creating something from it, you should be okay. As long as you're not just ripping a piece of content and saying and posting it back up again. Even if you're sat there as a face and you're just watching it, that still kind of counts and you're not doing anything. You have to add something to the video. So, you know, like FP1 Will does, where he takes small little clips and he adds comedic value to it, and he just uses the clip as a reference. I think that's great. For example, there was a content piece that I used to do on a previous channel, which essentially is Gogglebox. If you've watched the show, it's where people just watched TV during the week, and it's their reactions to that. And in the show, they showcase the shows that they've been watching. You can see the clips that they're reacting to. And I want to do something like around Formula One. And, you know, if there was more freedom in using the footage, then it would have been great just to use, you know, Hungary, for example. Max and Lewis come together, Max is in the air, and then it cuts to people at home watching the race and their live reactions. But because of FOM and obviously the broadcasting rights of Sky and all the other networks as well, it just is very difficult to do those. And if you're an established channel, it's even harder, because if you're a low channel, it's a lot easier to get away with it because F1 haven't noticed it. But as soon as you start to make a name for yourself, F1 are going to notice that sort of stuff and they're going to come for you. But I think we're both in agreement that F1 should open up their doors and allow it, because it's more promotion for the sport.
Yeah. I think the more people are making content about your sport and are talking about it, the better. So I do feel like there should be some leeway and some wiggle room in regards to repurposing or reusing footage from races or practice sessions or quali sessions. I'm reading the formula right now, which you might've read. I don't know if you've read it yet, but it's really good. And they talk about a young Formula One fan who got a number of cease and desist letters from Formula One for reposting photos and videos from Formula One tracks. And do you know who that young fan was?
Who was that young fan?
Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis was actually.
So Lewis Hamilton, and this was like, I think in the, when Twitter was starting, so like the early 2010s, was posting a lot of photos and videos from the track onto his personal Twitter. And they were getting taken down, and he was getting cease and desist letters from Formula One because of like what he was posting that he took with his phone on the track.
That's crazy.
It was insane.
It's crazy how much has opened up, because that is the Bernie day, you know, Bernie Ecclestone's day, where you were not allowed, like, social media is the bane of existence and you are not allowed to film anything. As soon as limited media came in, it was amazing, because all of a sudden, you know, it's not just the fact that Lewis Hamilton wasn't allowed to make content back then, but no teams were, like, you look at all the social media that's on now when there's a race weekend, get rid of all of that. That is what it was like to be an F1 fan before Liberty Media, because you didn't have anything. Teams were not allowed to create social media from the pit lane or from the paddock area, because, as I say, someone like Sky Sports has paid for that. And I think that a really good way around this for content creators would be, you know, because I think it's always going to be that same way, because Sky and all these have paid so much money for it, unless you go fully F1 TV. But an easier way around this is to have a cheaper package that content creators pay a bit of money for, and they are allowed, and you get a certain amount of time that you're allowed to use of a race, for example. So kind of like fair use is, you know, say it's an hour long episode, I think it's like 10 minutes that you're potentially allowed to use of that episode.
Yeah.
Could be something similar to that. And then it just allows you to use that. And you know, I think a lot of content creators will play it. As long as it's not a massive amount of value, still a good value for content creators to use, but you get a good amount from it, but not quite the broadcast packages that obviously Sky and all that get.
And from a business perspective, you could layer that content that we have access to with logos and ads.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to use it? Here's all the ads that are also behind it as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I think that's a really good idea. There is a YouTube creator who I think is great. I don't know if you're familiar with him. His name's Aiden Millward. He does a lot of motorsports history videos where he does like a deep dive. He did a great video on the Toon Mass Damper and why that was a big contributor to Renault's success in 05 and 06 when they won the championship those years. He did a great deep dive about Lola MasterCard and what a disaster that was in, I believe, 1997. And he also does race reviews, but he mainly does like motorsports history. Mm-hmm. But what he does is he recreates all of the footage himself in iRacing.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he like builds the livery, goes to the right track, and just captures footage.
Yeah.
Like he did an Indy 500 review of this year where he just captured himself like in iRacing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
That's a lot of work. That's fair play. We actually did it on the WTF1 back in February, March. We released a video of us trying to recreate the most famous overtakes, but in go-karts. And I had to go back on the F1 game and had to re-download past F1 games to recreate those overtakes. Because obviously we can't show. So Alonso overtaking Schumacher at Suzuka. I think it was Ricciardo overtaking Bottas at China. And Alonso Hamilton in Bahrain was the other one. And obviously we can't use footage from real life to showcase ones we're talking about. And you can't just use images because if someone's not seen that race before, they're like, but I don't know how they're going to do that overtake. So I had to go onto the game, download past games as well for those seasons, and yeah, recreate those overtakes to the best of my ability. So I've been there and done that. I understand the grind that person goes through. So that is tremendous.
Yeah, it's great. His channel is really good. If anyone's listening has not checked out Aiden Millward's YouTube channel, you must check it out. It's he makes some really good stuff. But yeah, I think I understand where Formula One's coming from, but I really think it's in any sport's best interest, especially since how we consume sports these days. There are studies that show that a lot of fans, especially younger fans, do not watch the entire race or the entire match or entire game of a given sport. They consume the sport via highlights, mm-hmm. and they consume the sport via commentary on what happened in that match. And they consume it in bite-sized pieces of content. So I think it is any sport's best interest to have as many people as possible making videos that's commentary on it, even if they're like clipping out pieces of a broadcast. So I think that is something that the powers that be at Formula One and the people who have rights to the broadcasts need to come together and talk about.
Yeah, I fully, fully agree. I mean, it would make the sport so much better. And, you know, there's so many more content ideas. I think allowing that freedom, the content that would come from it would increase in quality and blow up because there's so many restrictions, so many little things that you cannot do that makes it so difficult.
I also think for other series, I don't think this would necessarily work for Formula One, but series that are trying to expand their audience and get more fans, I think they should allow for watch-alongs on Twitch. For instance, mm-hmm. Formula E. Formula E right now is behind a paywall, TNT Sports in the UK. You know, so many racing fans in the UK are not watching Formula E because they don't want to pay £30 or 30 mm-hmm. bucks a month or how much it is to be able to watch Formula E races. Formula E is a great product, great packaging, great marketing, still needs more fans. You need to make that product available to fans for free to get people hooked. And I think if like Formula E, for instance, were able to tell content creators on Twitch or Kick or whatever streaming service, hey, you can stream our races, our E-Pri, and you can put yourself into the channel and as commentary as like a watch along, I think that would grow the sport a lot. And I know there are other creators like that did watch alongs for Formula E, but I think if you made it like open source, like any creator that wants to do a watch along for this sport, I think you'd get a lot more eyeballs on it and create a lot more fans.
Yeah, and I think you can easily start with those lower end motorsports. You know, Formula E being behind a paywall is such a big shame because I went to London last year and I was like, actually, I'm enjoying this. This is good. I'm going to give it a go next season. And then I go and search for it. And I'm like, where is it? Okay, maybe it will be on YouTube because it used to be on YouTube. Let me have a look. Can't find it on YouTube. can't find it anywhere. And I'm like, where is it? Then I see it's on, yeah, this channel that I've never heard of before. And at that point, I was like, okay, cool. Well, I won't be watching that this year. And it's just unfortunate. Same with, like, you know, I'm glad that IndyCar is on Sky Sports F1 over here. Like, it's on the same channel because I obviously already have that for Formula One. So it's not like I have to get another subscription to watch IndyCar. But IndyCar is also really good because they have longer highlights that they post. They have their short 5-minute roundup, but they also have their 35 minutes, like, extended ones, which is a shame that Formula One can't do that or don't do that because, you know, they have their 7 minutes. They're always locked to, I think it's like 7 minute 01 or whatever. And it's never, ever any longer than that.
Interesting.
But there's some races that are really dull that you can easily fit into 7 minutes. And you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this 7 minutes long? But there's other races where they're thinking, how am I going to make this 7 minutes long? For another reason, by trying to condense it all down, having another product or something like that. And then also, you know, that opens the door to allow more people to react to it. But it's always a tricky thing, copyright, because I know that there are a lot of Twitch streamers that before maybe a qualifying or a real life race, they're building up their stream by watching back old race highlights, like the 7 minutes ones. Before and none of them have really got taken down. But then sometimes the odd content creators get taken down for using the timing tower that F1 puts on their website. They can get copyright strike on their streams and get their streams taken down. So it's very, very weird. It's a confusing world, and it's all about the luck of the draw, I think, sometimes. Sometimes you get really unlucky. Sometimes you can be doing it for ages, and then all of a sudden they come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Have you ever seen, I forget which one, there was a UFC fight like a year or two ago that was, you know, a big pay-per-view fight. And there was a streamer who was broadcasting the fight live on their Twitch stream. And they had themselves in the corner holding a controller to try to trick Twitch into thinking they were playing a game.
Yeah, I've seen some incredible ones. Another one I've seen is where somebody's like, you're basically looking somebody very, very closely on the camera, but they're wearing very reflective sunglasses on. So you can just see the match in one of their eyes. And you're just watching it back and they're just sat there like this.
That is so funny. Oh, man, I love that. This is a weird tangent, and I promise you this is not a... Because you were talking about the Sky Sports F1 videos that get capped at 7 minutes. This is not an ad for F1 TV, and I don't know how you feel about this. And I've said this to my friends before, and I've said this to other fans. F1 TV is an incredible product.
It is an incredible product.
It is so good that it gives you so many different options on how to consume the race weekend. You can watch the full practice session live, or you can watch practice highlights in 9 minutes, which are typically available or an hour or two after. You can watch the quali, or you can watch quali highlights. You can watch the full race replay or race live, or you can watch race in 30, which sometimes, if I miss the race, is like a great way to catch up on it, especially if it wasn't a super exciting one. You can start, like, if you, let's say you show up to the race late, you can catch up, or you can start from the beginning and fast forward. There are so many other sports that I consume that make it so much harder to follow. And F1 TV is just like a great service. If anyone's like a big F1 fan, I'm like, you really don't need anything else to follow sports. Like, F1 TV is really all you need. The one thing I wish they had
is it's available in the UK. That's one thing I wish that it had.
Wait, F1 TV is not available in the UK?
Not available in the UK.
Oh, I did not know that.
No, because Sky Sports F1 have the rights. Oh. So it's blocked in the UK. You cannot get a subscription.
It is such a good product. It is insane.
I know. It's such a shame being over here and having access to it.
And the broadcast is great. The broadcast team is great. And I know it's a little different in the sense that, like, everybody that works on the broadcast, they're working for the company that is putting on the sport that they're covering. Yeah. So they can't be as critical as they are on Sky Sports. They really just have to be overwhelmingly positive for the most part and supportive of the race. And they can't be super critical of Formula One as a sport, as a whole, as an entity. However, the people that they have on the broadcast are very knowledgeable, very passionate, very good at what they do. The one thing I wish they did, aside from being available in the UK, which I was not available aware of, I wish you could download stuff to your phone if you were about to go on a plane.
Yeah.
or if you're about to go somewhere where you don't have Wi-Fi, like let's say I wanted to catch up on quality or catch up on a race that I wasn't able to see, I wish I could download it to my phone and be able to watch it, you know, on a long trip or something like that. That would be cool. But I feel bad for everybody in the UK because F1 TV is a great way. I know Crofty is an unbelievable commentator and people have a special place in their heart for him. But I really enjoy watching the races on F1 TV, especially with multi-viewer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can change, can't you, the who you listen to, right? So you can
yes,
have
you can.
Crofty if you want, because I think they are the live feed. And then the F1 TV is Alex Jakes, great commentator. And then I suppose if you are listening or you're watching it and you speak a different language, then you can obviously have your native language if it's available, I guess. But like I say, I haven't used it. But yeah, multi-viewer is something that I envy because that's something I want as well. And having all the stats and the timing towers, like, oh my God. I've seen setups of people where they have so many screens dotted about with track maps and lots of different POVs. That would be me because I'm a massive freaking nerd. And I would have them everywhere.
There have been times where I've watched a race using the F1 multi-viewer where I have my two computer monitors, as well as a TV that's connected to my computer, as well as a laptop, as well as a phone. So I have like five screens. So I have like the main feed. I'll pick a couple driver cams. I'll have the map on one. I'll have the telemetry on another screen. It's just like, and then I'll become a nerd and like, I'm not very math, like I was never good at math or science or anything like that, but I'll be watching the timetables, trying to like figure out, okay, if he wants
to
catch up with
him. Watching the numbers to see when somebody's 8 seconds apart and it spells boob. That's what you're looking for.
No, but I'll be watching the timing and I'll be like, okay, if so-and-so has to catch up with so-and-so, they have to be pulling a lap time of this to be able to catch up with this time. And it's just like, I don't know, it just... Even though you don't have any control over the race, having that much information makes you feel that much more invested, and it's really, really fun.
Yeah, no, I fully, fully agree, and that's why I wish that we had it over here, because, oh, my God, it'd be so good. But I am hopefully moving to the Netherlands in September, so one thing that comes with that is I will be able to get F1 TV, so I'm looking forward to that. And I know you say VPNs, and you can use VPNs. I'm pretty sure they have cut down and found a way to stop people using VPNs because I went through multiple VPNs here to try and get it and I still could not get it, which was really, really frustrating. Like it just blocked and then I was trying to talk to someone and I was like, oh yeah, I can't get through to my account. And still, like they went through multiple times, like try it now, try it now, try it now, still wouldn't work. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to come clean. I'm actually from the UK, so that's probably why I can't get it.
Yeah. We've had a pretty quiet week, with the exception of the Adrian Newey to Aston Martin rumors. I know we saw Lewis Hamilton pop up at the Olympics. He was there supporting his friend and competitive fencer, Miles Chamley Watson. I don't know exactly how to say it. He's a very famous fencer. But Lewis Hamilton was there. He had a wardrobe change in the middle of the day. First, he was wearing a hoodie with his friend's name on it, and then he switched over to like a Dior like very fancy outfit. He's having a good summer break. Have you seen any other drivers pop up on your social media feed?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're all just very much having
chilling
a break and just getting away from everything, just shutting off, getting as far away from everybody as possible, and just enjoying their time. Apart from Zhou's off in China at the moment, and I do feel sorry for him because his summer break and his winter break are not... I don't feel like they're the same as everybody else's summer and winter break because he'll go use that time. He'll go back to China, which obviously, you know, is such a distance away from, like, Team Factory and all the work he's doing in prep during the weeks. So go back to China. When he's there, he's then fulfilling sponsorship duties with... his personal sponsors like Lululemon, for example, or I think he works with Dior as well. So it's just full on. Here's your summer break, but you've got 3 weeks of doing that. But I did see on his socials that he was playing basketball, and I sent him a message about this because he looked like he was playing against people who have never played basketball before in his life. Like he was running around them, throwing it from distance, and they were just standing still, just being like, we can't compete with this guy.
Do you think Zhou Guanyu paid a bunch of people who are bad at sports to play basketball with him so he could look like an all-star?
I hope so, because that man just annoys me, because he just seems to be... You know those annoying kids when you were at school who were good at everything? Like, not exceptional, yes. Not the best at everything, but were always good. Like, always, you know, not quite the top, but maybe fourth best, fifth best, around that sort of area. And that's right. Anything I see Zhou do just always seems to be... that sort of guy. So I fully hope he paid people who don't know how to play just to stand there, because it just winds me up every time I see him post something new, something sporty, and he's just good at it. I'm like, please stop.
Well, I think the next time you hang out with Zhou Guanyu, you know what you have to do? You have to challenge him to a game of one-on-one.
Or basketball. The thing is, I've got the height, so you would think I'd have the benefit there. So I'm hoping I could just do a lot of blocks and just, but I feel like he has the athletic ability that I really do not have at the moment. I'll run about for like 2 minutes and then I'll be at a sweaty pool on the floor.
One more thing I wanted to talk about. I saw a news headline where Nicole Piastri, Oscar Piastri's mother, said the whole reason why she joined Twitter was because Oscar was at boarding school and she had no other way to reach him. The only way she could contact him was by tweeting at him. My question to you is, have you ever gone about a very unconventional way to contact someone, like what Nicole Piastri did?
I don't think so, but my mum also used to be on Twitter. I've either got her blocked or she just doesn't interact with me anymore, but it used to be all the time reacting and commenting on stuff. I think one time there was a company that I used to work for, big on social media. And they'd always wish people who were part of the team happy birthday. They didn't wish me happy birthday. And she actually added them on Twitter saying, oh, by the way, you've got to say happy birthday to Hayden. They were like, oh, Hayden's with everyone from the company. They've all said it in person. I would have liked to post. Okay, I'm vain. I would have liked to post. Mum was right. But
also, happy belated birthday, Hayden.
That's true. It was my birthday the other day.
Yeah. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
If you listen to the pod, make sure to make a post wishing Hayden a happy birthday.
My mum will come after you all. My mum will come after you all. And I think after that point, when I went back to work, so I was actually on holiday at the time, I went back and they said it, and I was just like, oh my God, okay, I'm going to have to remove her from... I'll just tell her, please stop, you're embarrassing me.
My mom comments on... You gotta. I mean, my mom comments on my Instagram posts and videos all the time, and I think she thinks she's sending me a direct message, but she's really commenting.
I love that.
It's like you need to call home. Your uncle just died.
I love that. One thing I do love, though, what she's great at when I'm streaming. So I stream in the morning. Go check me out if you want, Hayden, guys. Cheeky little plug. But sometimes, you know, it'd be early morning, especially on a weekend, and they're having like bacon sandwiches. Yes, okay, I still live at home. I'm looking to move out. Allow it. I am 28. I'm still living at home. Allow it. Okay, I'm a creative. But she'll message in my Twitch chat and be like, bacon sandwich downstairs if you want to. I'm like, yes, you legend. I will be there. Keep that warm for me after. I will be there. Shout out mum in chat.
Could you imagine if teams let their mom at the driver's moms get on the radio?
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God.
Oscar, this is Nicole. You need to call more. We miss you. Anyway, have a good race. Love you. Bye.
Yes. More of those.
I would love that. There was one time where I couldn't reach my brother, and I was trying to help him get a job, and it was kind of time sensitive. He wasn't answering my phone calls. He wasn't answering my texts. He wasn't answering my emails. He was not answering. That was about it. But the one way I was able to contact him is I ordered Thai food to his apartment. And when I ordered it online, you know how there's like a special notes thing for your order where it's like, oh, less sauce or extra forks. I wrote, Alex, this is your brother. You need to call me right away. So he got this Thai food that he didn't order. And the note said, the receipt said, Alex, call your brother.
That's so good. So good. I'm going to have to use that. I'm going to have to use that if that ever happens.
You got to. But I would love to, especially like that'd be a good Mother's Day thing for Formula One. If all of a sudden we heard driver mom's messages on the radio during like a practice session or a quali or before a race or something. Be a nice little moment.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little good luck. Good luck out there, sweetie. Have a good race. I'm probably the last thing they need before they go out. But yeah, just Oscar just be like, yes, mum, okay. Can you get off now? Can you get whoever is back on, please? Or Hamilton's mum just be like, can you put Bono back on, please? I need him. I think that's everything then this week. As we say, quiet week for Formula One this week. Hopefully, we have a few more things kicking off. If not, the next podcast, we're going to add a little bit of fun to it to fill this summer break and just, keep it fun, keep it engaging. And then when the summer break is over, we should be flooded once again with F1 news. But thank you once again, James, for being my co-star on these
Thanks
podcasts.
For having me.
It's always a pleasure. I'm going to just ignore you from now on so that you can send me some food to my place with some special notes. If you've been enjoying this podcast, make sure you follow us on whatever platform you are listening to. Follow the WTF1 channel across all socials and make sure you follow James because he has some incredible content, and drop me a follow as well if you fancy it. And we will see you on the next podcast this week. Until then, have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Bye.